This is Radio Superior 1930, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1920s and 1930s. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it might have sounded in 1930. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College.
Good evening, friends. You're listening to Station KUWS, the voice from the head of the lakes. It's January 16th, 1930. This is the Martin and McKenna Show. I'm Jack McKenna, and newsman Lou Martin is standing by with word about this big blizzard we're having, and of course the dramatic trial of Ben Myers, accused of slaying Superior Police Sergeant Arthur Zimmerman. We'll keep you abreast of the latest weather, and some music, too, for your entertainment. Now here's Lou Martin with the Ekstrom's 5 o'clock news. Ekstrom's, the house of Kuppenheimer, good clothes. Lou, lots to talk about today.
Why, yes, Jack, and a welcome to our listeners. The first blizzard of the 1929-1930 winter season has struck at the head of the lakes. County snow removal equipment is busy digging out the major snowdrifts that have buried roads across the upper Wisconsin area. The storm appears to have missed most of Minnesota's Arrowhead region, with just a few inches of snow in Duluth and Superior proper. The largest snowfall amounts have been radioed in from the Shawamigan Bay area, the Gordon-Minong area, and all the way to Stone Lake. Drifts continue to be the most serious problem in Ashland, where schools were let out early Tuesday as the storm began. They were canceled yesterday and today as well, as the blizzards of 1930 raged its fury. Washburn reported drifts over the roads across rural Bayfield County, and the plows are making their way to Bayfield and cutting across County C to Cornucopia. Schools reopened today at noon in Washburn and Barksdale. The blizzard howled through Washburn and Sawyer counties, with Sawyer County road crews at work clearing passages so that people can get through. Washburn plows are concentrating on town roads only, refusing to clear Highway number 53, which they say is a state road. Jack McKenna has the latest forecast from the U.S. Weather Bureau in downtown Duluth. Jack?
Thank you, partner. Well, it was quite a blow, still is. Superior and Duluth recorded about 4 to 6 inches of snow, but east and south of Superior, and whoo, boy, the white stuff fell and fell. Some snowfall amounts include Port Wayne, 12 inches, Iron River, 10 inches, Solon Springs, 9 inches, Hawthorne and Poplar, also 9 inches. Brule recorded 12 inches of new snow, while Ino had 7 inches. In Ashland County, Odena was hardest hit with 14 inches, Mellon and Gordon Lake, 8 inches. Ashland had a 7-inch fall. In Hayward, 9 inches. Cable had 7 inches, while Minong recorded 10 inches of new snow. We're trying to get word from Hurley, but I'm afraid nobody can come to the door because the snow usually goes up to the eaves. The forecast is for a cold snap to hit the area with no more snow for the time being, friends. But the cold may be as bad as the snow. It looks to be the coldest temperatures we've gotten so far this winter, with the low tonight dropping down to 20 to 30 degrees. You ready for this? Below zero. And with the wind still expected to blow, it'll be downright dangerous out there. Mostly clear skies expected tomorrow, but still cold, with a high only about 5 degrees below zero. So bundle up, Lou.
Will do, Jack, will do. In other news that has gripped the head of the lakes, the trial of ex-policeman Ben Myers continues, accused of murdering Police Sergeant Arthur Zimmerman in the early morning hours of December the 2nd on Tower Avenue. Covering the dramatic testimony all this week has been KUWS newsman Mike Simonson. The packed courtroom has gotten an earful, I suppose, Mike.
I'll say, Lou. Taking the stand today was Ben Myers' wife, telling of their early life together leading up to the accusations against her husband today. The pair were married in 1912. Their 18th anniversary is this February 2nd. The pair moved from South Dakota to Cloquet, where their first child was born 15 years ago. They were burned out in the Cloquet fire of 1918 and moved to Superior. In 1920, Ben Myers was hired as a patrolman with the Superior Police Department, but just a year later, Myers was sacked by then-Police Chief Louis Osborne. Myers appealed and got his job back, but he was warned by some in the department that they would get him if it took 10 years. Well, then December 1st, 1929, the Police and Fire Commission held a hearing to dismiss her husband, apparently accusing him of drinking and frequenting speakeasies. Mrs. Meyer then said that they left the commission meeting, walked down Broadway to Tower Avenue, where they happened into Sergeant Zimmerman, who would be the victim just a day later. It was then that Mrs. Myers broke down in tears, unable to continue. The court recessed at that point. Ben Myers is accused of shooting Sergeant Zimmerman while he was walking his patrol on Tower Avenue around 4 a.m. December 2nd. But the much-awaited testimony of Ben Myers began this afternoon, Lou.
Well, I understand that he detailed the final walk of Sergeant Zimmerman down Tower Avenue.
Yeah, Ben Myers says he was coming out from behind Kindy Optical by light bodies when he saw a flashlight shining. It was Sergeant Zimmerman, his superior. They walked together as Zimmerman shook door handles to make sure the stores were secure. When he sniffed at Myers' breath, he asked Myers, "You've been drinking, Ben?" Myers said he had, but it didn't affect him. Sergeant Zimmerman said he'd have to turn him in. Myers testified to the 10-man, 2-woman jury that he pleaded with the sergeant to let him go, that he'd lose his job for sure. With tears welling up in his eyes and visibly shaking, Myers told defense attorney Claude Cooper his mind whirled as he asked, "Aren't you going to listen to reason, Art?" Shortly afterwards, Arthur Zimmerman lay bleeding from a fatal pistol wound on Tower Avenue. Closing arguments are expected tomorrow, Lou.
And we'll have that also for you listeners. In other news, a raid of federal agents shortly afternoon today in the Iron River area busted an illegal still and forced Nick Barrick of Iron River to sign a $1,000 bond before being released by Court Commissioner Charles Bishop. He's charged with making and selling illegal intoxicants in violation of the Volstead Act. Acting Police Chief William Meade says arrests for drunkenness in Superior rank second only to Milwaukee in the state. The 2,300 arrests were twice as many as Madison and more than in pre-prohibition years of 1915 and 1916, but not as many arrests in 17 and 18, the years before prohibition. But Acting Chief Meade says they arrest people even if they have a hint of alcohol on their breath. But before prohibition, they would only arrest people unable to safely walk. Well, in fact, Chief Meade says the drunks were often taken to what was famously known as the Hotel de Jag on 2nd Street in Ogden and deposited for a good night's sleep instead of bringing them to jail. First thing Monday morning, Superior Central High School Principal C.G. Wade held a meeting with students alleged to be responsible for the wrecking of a Duluth to Superior streetcar. Windows were broken, lights smashed, cords cut, and seats were slashed by rooters following a loss to Duluth Central in basketball Friday night. It isn't sure what Principal Wade will do or if the rowdy students will be prosecuted. We'll be back with more of our KUWS 5 o'clock news after this word about extras.
Yes, thank you, Lou. What a word, too. Starting tomorrow and while items last, a great half-price sale at extras. Get a load of some of these bargains. Overcoats, 26 overcoats in sizes 34 to 42, running in price from, well, they sold once for $22.50, now 11 and a quarter. $29 new, $14.50 on sale. $65 new, just $32.50 on sale, and just in time for the bitter cold weather. Here's some boys' Mackinaws. Two coats that sold for $4.95, now just $2.48. And those Mackinaws are great. Four coats that sold for $6.95, now $3.48. One coat that sold for $9.50 new, now just $4.75 in this sale. You see what I mean? A half-price sale at Ekstrom's, 626 and 628 Tower Avenue, the house of Kuppenheimer, good clothes. Ekstrom's in Superior.
Well, the Superior Fire Department must change its ways, its firemen work, and add two more positions in order to maintain its third-class ranking with the state. That from State Inspector Frank Daniels in an address to the city councilors yesterday. Right now, Superior firemen spend 14 hours on the job and then 10 hours off. These shifts leave the men little time to spend with their wives and children, says Daniels. and Superior is the last fire department in Wisconsin to use this kind of a shift. All others have 24 hours on and 24 hours off. Daniels also recommended a fire station be built in Central Park, that each company have 6 men instead of 4. Daniels says 4 exposes them to unnecessary risks and also makes them less effective in fighting fires. Well, it was a record year for port tonnage, but also a record year for timber in Sawyer County. 125 million feet of lumber was processed and hauled out of the region this year, the biggest year since 1919. The Edward Hines Hardwood and Hemlock Company led the way with 70 million feet from the Kennedy and Draper sections. Algoma Panel Company of Birchwood and Russell Lumber, they're cutting south of Winter and shipping into their Ladysmith facilities. Well, the old Tamarack Farm near the Moose Road Junction could become a wildlife refuge in Douglas County. The Wisconsin Conservation Commission wants nearly 4,000 acres of land near and in Dairyland to be preserved, although Dairyland farmers think the land could be used more for raising crops instead. The Moose Road connects Highway number 35 and 53. Well, Superior is now listed in the 1929 World Book, just acquired by the Superior Public Library. It describes Superior with a 1920 population of 39,624 people, mostly of Scandinavian and Irish descent. It continues to say that Superior, along with Duluth, is the westernmost port of entry in the United States, and houses several hospitals, a state teacher's college, a Carnegie Library, and a federal building. It details the largest coal, ore, and grain docks in the world and says it's thriving with an ironworks, machine shop, furniture factory, foundries, and shipbuilding yards. Even the history of Superior and its discovery by Radisson and Grosselier in 1661, with the first permanent settlement established in 1850 here in Superior. It also notices that Douglas County is named after esteemed politician Stephen Douglas, who distinguished himself in the presidential debates with Abraham Lincoln. Good news that we're on the map, so to speak, Jack. But they didn't mention you in the World Book as our most prominent resident.
Well, obviously an oversight, Lou. Give them a call. Tell them who I am. I'll be embarrassed not to be in the 1930 edition. Well, friends, that's news and weather, and now it's time for a break and for some music to warm you up and keep you safe from this winter storm. Here's Paul Whiteman, If I Had a Talking Picture of You.
Talking picture of you, I would run it every time I felt blue. I would sit there in the gloom of my lonely little room and applaud each time you whispered, I love you, on the screen the moment you came in view. We would talk the whole thing over, we two. I would give 10 shows a day and a midnight matinee if I had a talking picture of you. ¶¶
Ah, yes. Good old Paul Whiteman. He really does it up, doesn't he? Huh? Well, Lou, we did it. And I mean our good listeners included. We've got now money enough phrase to buy that radio for the patients at Superior's Isolation Hospital, 2222 East 10th Street.
Well, it's a great thing, Jack. Isolation Hospital Dr. L.A. Hoffner sent his thanks in a letter, and I'll read part of it so that we can share in the good feelings of this special project. Dr. Hoffner wrote, "There's a definite aid given to the healing of the sick by music, driving away gloom and loneliness. The radio acts as a great material medicine which cannot be equaled in drug, pill, or syrup." These are kind words from Dr. Hoffner, Jack.
Indeed, Lou, indeed. Now we'll run down and pick up a good RCA Victor radio set, and it'll be playing in the Isolation Hospital Monday. 55 people donated, Lou, with names we all recognize. J.H. Somerville of John Avenue, T.J. Roth of Hammond, John Barden of East 7th, J. Hooker Wright of Hotel Superior, W.H. Webb of 21st Street, Billy and Edna Marie Olson of Banks Avenue, Frank Hayes of Woodland Avenue in Duluth, E.M. Lambert of the Cedar Island Lodge, Mrs. O.A. Britton of 21st Street, and Sadie West of East 5th Street. Thank you, friends. And the patients at the hospital, thank you, too. To celebrate, let's play Henry Allen and his New York Orchestra. It should be you. Henry Allen and his New York Orchestra from last year, the 1929 hit number, It Should Be You. And now from the field of competitive sports, there's plenty of excitement, friends. With the lowdown is KUWS sports announcer, Ray Paulson. Good evening, Ray.
Thank you, Jack, and good evening, sporting fans. It was a real barn burner for the Superior East Old Towners as they topped the erstwhile opponents from Washburn High School. That basketball score ended at 16-14, East Old Towners. Coach Pete Guzzi's proteges managed to top the boys from Shawamigan Bay in spite of less-than-stellar passing to set up their two-pointers. Washburn right guard Larson had a chance to tie with just a couple of minutes left, but missed a comparatively easy shot. Beecher and Nadolski were the unexpected big scorers, netting 12 points between them. Forward Westland had the most points for Washburn. The Old Towners meet Two Harbors next Saturday. Superior Central lost a tough one to their Duluth Central counterparts, losing by 1 point at the Zenith City Gymnasium. This traditional Head of the Lakes matchup, since time immemorial, didn't disappoint the 1,000 hysterically screaming fans. With the Superior Central Orphans holding the lead for the entire game, led by the free and easy shooting of Scotsman Donald McDougall, Duluth Central forward Nutala won it in the final 33 seconds by putting up a two-pointer to seal the Orphans' fate. Well, here's a fishy story, angling for some skepticism, except I've seen photographs, and it's true. Dear sporting fans, Bayfield's Arden Saunders landed a 35-pound lake trout while fishing in 120 feet of water in Shawamigan Bay. And by golly, friends, it's a beaut of a catch. The biggest fish this winter. Mr. Saunders made the catch through a hole in the ice 4 miles from Bayfield and about a mile off Madeline Island. And friends, staffers from the Ashland Daily Press travel to Superior this Sunday as the Shawamigan Kegglers seek revenge against the Evening Telegram staff at Jack's Recreation Parlor. The Telegram won their first encounter in Ashland. Well, that's it, sporting fans. And remember, everyone loves a good sport. Say, how about you guys at KUWS take on the winner of that Ashland Daily Press Telegram match, Jack? And, should we tell Lou or leave him at home?
Don't tell Lou. You get his size 10s and a pair of bowling shoes and look out.
Sorry, Lou. I've seen you bowl.
Well, you'll never know what a little practice can do, Jack. You just watch.
Well, let's roll on to more music. And friends, this is George Gershwin and Someone to Watch Over Me.
Thank you.
Gershwin on his famous piano, entertaining us. This is radio station KUWS, the voice of the head of the lakes. You're listening to the Martin and McKenna Show on this January 16th, 1930. We have some very important community happenings we're sure you'll find interesting. Some issues of health, I understand, Lou.
Well, that's right, Jack. We'd like to wish Mayor George Dietrich well. He's at home recovering from what ails a lot of us these days, a bit of a cold. But that's probably less annoying than the confounding affliction which has struck City Health Officer Dr. George Conklin. Believe it or not, Jack, Dr. Conklin is suffering from hiccups.
Hiccups? How long has that been going on?
Well, about 5 days. Attending physicians say that he only has a respite from it when he can fall asleep. It must be a trick in itself with that affliction. Word is, though, that he is getting better.
Oh, that's good, by golly. That's a bad trick, Lou. You know the cure, don't you, Lou? Peanut butter. A full tablespoon of peanut butter and no more hiccuping. Well, I don't know. I had a friend one time that tried that. He had a plate, a false plate, and the peanut butter got stuck in the plate. He swallowed the plate, and he'd been better off with the hiccups. You have to wonder how Mrs. Conklin's been putting up with 5 days of this, though.
Well, I've got a better one for you, Jack, and you'll be allowed to laugh at this one. The other day, Central High School engineer Oscar Bursell had a big yawn while on the job. Problem was that his jaw was stuck. It wouldn't go back into neutral gear. He couldn't shut his mouth, so Dr. P.G. McGill came to Mr. Bursell's rescue, put his knee on Oscar's chest, jiggled his jaw, and by golly, if it didn't go back into place. Word is that Oscar Bursell is keeping his mouth shut these days.
I'm sure that Oscar considers that a malady, too, having to keep his mouth shut. Well, it's tough to see where you're going if your mouth's stuck in a yawning position. Thanks, Lou. You're one heck of a newsman to come up with stories like that. All true friends, just a tad different. Now something to jaw about from our wax music collection on station KUWS, The Voice from the Head of the Lakes.
Lordy, how they play it. Boy, they really sway it. Thank you.
Well, good listeners, bundle up, chin up, put those records away, and maybe pull out a board game tonight as we endure another cold night from the winter of 1930. Perhaps another log on the fire. We'll wish you a good night now. For Lou Martin, this is Jack McKenna.
This is Radio Superior 1930, a weekly original production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior 1930 is written and produced by Mike Simonson, with assistance from Brianna Pearson. Harriet Farag is played by Jennifer Simonson. Assistance in this program comes from the Superior Public Library. All of the events reported on Radio Superior 1930 are actual accounts from editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Your comments are welcomed at 394-8530. Email at simonson@wpr.org or mail at KUWS Radio, UW Superior, Superior, Wisconsin, 54880. Join us next week at this same time for more Radio Superior 1930. This is your announcer, Dan Colhane, speaking. Good night.